Hello.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? This is Yusuf.
And Genoa.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment,
the Throwback Christmas Thursday episodes. What's going on, guys? I hope y'all staying warm throughout this December, depending on which coast. Well, it's a little cool.
It's been cool here in LA. Yeah. It was 36 degrees last weekend when I went for a hike.
Yikes.
And I wasn't up in the mountains. I was right here in the city. It wasn't even a hike. It was a walk. It was 36 degrees. My car freaked the fuck out. Gave me a giant alert. It's cold outside.
And Kyle's like, well, I'm on the East Coast. Where am I?
Just didn't know what to do. So we are traveling back in time to 1996. What happened in 96?
Okay, so what happened in 96?
I was 22. Mm-hmm. I was saving up to go study abroad at Oxford.
Nice. And
let me guess, Friends, Seinfeld.
Damn. Okay. All right. So Friends is number three. Seinfeld is number two.
I don't know what else was on TV. You're not gonna know
that. Well, ER was number one because ER was still doing. Yeah. Clooney was still kind of, you know, doing the damn thing on TV. Mm-hmm. Suddenly Susan.
Oh, right. I always forget that was a TV show.
Yeah. And The Naked Truth. I don't remember that.
I don't remember that either.
Oh, the song.
96. Too early for any of the boy bands. Mm-hmm. Too late for grunge.
This song. This song. This, you cannot get away from this song even if you try.
Oh, I don't know.
It was a dance.
The Macarena. Yeah.
Hey, Macarena. Los de Rio. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the song of 96.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's fantastic. So ooh. Ridiculous. So glad we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yes.
Okay. Right, we are going to a world where there's a woman suffering from amnesia who begins to recover her memories after trouble from her after an accident, and then trouble starts to find her again. Mm-hmm. IMDb, you did not write a very good synopsis of this movie.
So the movie stars Gina Davis, Samuel L. Jackson. Brian Cox, David Morris, Craig Bierkel.
Mm-hmm. So we are going into A Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yes, the Christmas movie. It is a Christmas movie.
Because it starts with the Christmas parade.
Yes. And the last henchman that dies gets strung up.
Is it Santa?
No. The helicopter scene. Like he like falls and like the string of like Christmas lights and
right.
Yeah. So it's all Christmas days, like by so rare. And also this movie was written by Shane Black, right?
Who's Shane Black?
Shane Black is the pretty much the Lethal Weapon guy. He wrote and directed Lethal Weapon. That's how he kind of got into Hollywood.
Oh.
He did the Last Boy Scout, Nice Guys.
Oh, so he has a genre.
Yes.
He has a very distinct genre.
And most of his action movies takes place around Chris, like Lethal Weapon, you know. So he wrote Lethal Weapon. Iron Man 3, actually, Iron Man 3 took place kind of around the holidays, the third Iron Man.
It did?
Yeah.
I missed that part in that movie.
Yeah. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh, yeah.
The Nice Guys. Yes. So he had
a troubled childhood when it came to Christmas, and this is how he's dealing with it.
Yeah, pretty
this
much.
Is what I'm gathering from this.
Yeah, pretty much.
And it was directed by Rennie Harlan. Who did Die Hard 2, Cliffhanger, which is a crazy, Cliffhanger, the crazy opening scene, just crazy opening scene.
Yeah.
Deep Blue Sea, mm-hmm.
It's a good one.
Skip Trace. I remember Skip Trace, but I don't remember. I remember
the one with Jackie Chan.
It looks like it. Yeah, Jackie Chan.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. So at the time, the director and Gina Davis was married. Around the time of this movie. So he wanted to get his wife in some action movies, you know. It's like, hey baby, I think you can do it.
Right.
Like,
so this is post what was the movie she was in where she drives off the cliff with the
other Thelma and Louise.
Thelma and Louise, thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And this is pre Bourne Identity. Okay.
Oh, right.
This
another
is the original Jason Moore.
Well, but I think those books had been out for a very long time.
Well, to go to movie form.
And it was post League of Their Own, so Gina Davis was really at the at her heyday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I always forget that she was in The Fly, which is the best.
Cronenberg,
so good.
Yeah, so pretty much the movie opens up.
Another fucking small town. Sorry. you can edit that. Sorry.
No, I'm not. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
We're in another small town. Mm-hmm. And it's Christmas. Uh-huh. And Gina Davis is playing Miss Santa in the Christmas parade. Mm-hmm. And she gets on TV and we find out from her daughter that she has amnesia. Yeah. And then she's talking to her boyfriend or fiance that we just keep getting introduced to like her history, her amnesia, and that basically like she woke up one day and was pregnant and didn't know where she had came
from. Because the movie started off more of like a voiceover, so it's kind of like she's talking to the audience,
yeah,
and she's like, my name is Samantha Kane, you know, I was born 8 years ago, you know, like pretty much she don't remember.
You get to do most of the talking about this movie because I've seen this movie twice, once when it came out and once this past week.
Nice.
So you can fill in all the gaps that I miss.
Gotcha.
So this is one of Yusuf's Christmas movies that he always watches along with Gremlins.
Gremlins, Lethal Weapon,
Die Hard,
Bad Santa. It's like two more. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, of course, gotta have that in there.
Right. I feel like I think the only Christmas movie I watch is Die Hard. Mm-hmm. on a regular basis.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have to.
It's just a good movie.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then it's Christmas.
Yeah, but I kind of have like a, all right. And plus, you know, then I chase it with Die Hard too, because that's a Christmas movie also that people overlook, because two is a Christmas movie.
I mean, this, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we see Samantha. She's like a teacher at the small town school.
Right.
She have a daughter. Everything is nice. Everything is peachy. Everything is nice and Christmassy. She says she hire a lot of like private detectives and the investigators to try to
find out who she was, but no one can find out who she is.
Yeah, so she's kind of like, all right, I'm cool with just not knowing at this point.
Right.
You know.
And then we jump over to meet Mitch Hennessy, who's played by Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, love this man.
Who is sort of, I mean, he's introduced as like a con artist, basically. Yeah.
This is kind of like the sleazy kind of.
And he has a partner and they basically corner John's to give up all of their money so that they don't get busted by the cops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, to keep their business afloat, you know.
Right. So as I was watching this for basically the second time, I've probably seen it more than twice, but it felt like the second time. Mm. I realized why I've never gone back to watch this. Wow. It was the Samuel Jackson character.
Really?
Yeah. So this movie fails the DuVernay test, which
What's
is the
DuVernay.
it is how do you? What are the six signs that you know a on-screen black character is a tired stereotype, and his character in this movie is too stereotyped for me, that it was really bothering me.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
I see that as a total reverse.
Really?
Yeah. I acknowledge it, but the thing I really liked about screenplay is that it acknowledges it. And
just the six things are number one, does your black character die or do they die first?
No,
he doesn't. Does your character exist to serve white people or aid them in a quest for fulfillment? Yes, 100%.
But I'll put an asterisk. But the thing is it at the detriment of the actual black actor? Like achieving some kind of arc on their own also.
They multiple times try to kill him.
Oh, of course.
So yes, yes. Do they have other friends, family members, or life outside the world of the white characters?
Yeah.
Yes, sort of.
Yeah.
Just to sort of show that they think that he's a scumbag.
Which he was in a way.
Yeah. If they have a love interest, are they paired up with the only other person of color on screen? Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, they didn't. They never hooked up.
His love interest is his ex-wife, who's the only other colored person on screen.
Oh, I'll tell my hook up with the white
person. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they the only black character in the entire movie? No, because they introduce his wife.
Mm-hmm. And son.
Yeah. If there are other black characters, do they talk to each other? Only to do the fight about their son. Are they a supporting character in their own story? No. So he fails number two and four.
Yeah, I don't take those tests to heart at all. I call bullshit a lot of those tests.
Every time I watch this, I mean, I didn't like her character. I'm giving away my ranking at the end.
We can just get it. We just gotta get into this one there.
Yeah.
All right. So okay. Well,
I have not shared any of this with Yusuf pre-recording. So
yeah. So like okay. So give me the issues. Come on. I need some issues on this one.
I know she has amnesia, but okay. So she's in an accident early in the movie. And she hits her head real hard. And so things start to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so she keeps being put in these different situations where she's asked to act like a secret agent, super spy that knows all these skills. And then all of a sudden she doesn't remember anything. It is just so fucking annoying.
Charlie Baltimore is her
secret agent
kind of personality. It was her original killer assassin code name / personality. So Charlie Baltimore was bubbling out of Samantha Cain, but it didn't like come out outright. So it was still kind of like that. Samantha Cain's still trying to push Charlie in. Right. Charlie's still trying to be like, hey, get me out.
Right. So there's the first time we see this, she's in the kitchen and she's like cutting up vegetables for dinner. And she's going really slow. And her husband or fiance or boyfriend goes, oh, if you're any slower, something about we'll never get the vegetables for dinner. Uh-huh. And he turns his back and then all of a sudden she's able to like chop like a crazy ass sous chef.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, husband, look what I can do. Give me another, give me a tomato and give me some more vegetables and just keeps chopping everything.
Mm-hmm.
They lost me right there.
But what does she do at the end of that scene?
She throws the knife at the wall or door
and,
or something.
And catch the tomato she toss up with it and catch it.
Yeah.
And she says, chefs do that. Okay, this line comes back.
Yeah, no. Yeah. They lost me at that point in the movie right there. No.
It's just so clever though.
No. You know what's fantastic about this movie? The random one-off dialogue lines.
Oh, it's Shane Black. He's known for that shit.
I mean, showing a knife, she goes something about, oh, only 4 inches.
Oh, there it is. Yeah, he's like, are you going to film? And then
I got 4 inches for you. Only 4 inches.
The only 4 inches, he's like, oh, you got to film me. But then, okay, so that kitchen scene, right? Okay, so the crazy dude that finds out Charlie's still alive breaks into her home, tries to kill her. right? So instinctively, a la Jason Bourne, which we don't have a problem with, is Matt Damon, like comes out.
Yeah, but the thing kills- with Matt, okay, wait, no. The thing with Matt Damon versus Charlie is that he's not fighting between his old self and his new self. He knows that there's something wrong with him. And that when he goes into a diner, he automatically clocks every person in that diner. And he knows how long it gets, that he takes for him to get somewhere.
But it have to be in a situation. He had to be in that situation to get there, right?
What do you mean?
I'm just saying you have to be in that type of scene. You have to be in that type of situation. He don't instinctively be when he have to go to that restaurant to be right?
Well, yeah, they have a conversation in the beginning of Bourne Identity when he's at the diner with the woman that's driving him to Paris. And she's like, well, what's your story? He's like, I don't know. All I know is that when I walk into any room, I'm clocking everything in here. Whereas Charlie, she's just fucking clueless all the time until something hits her in the face. And she's like, oh, my God, I need to react. They're shooting at me. How am I going to get off of this floor? I know. I'm going to shoot that window and we're going to jump and it's going to be OK. And then she jumps and then she gets down. She's like, oh, my God, how did we get down here? And she turns to Samuel. How did we get down here? He's like, don't worry. I see. You.
Which is an awesome line. Because I said jazz, it was perfect. I mean, which is another play on his character. Oh no.
As a scumbag.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Yeah. So okay.
The only thing I enjoyed from the movie was the one-off dialogue lines. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed the movie because one.
Crash and burn.
Oh wow. What I love about this movie is one, the dynamic between Samuel Jackson and Gina Davis, because as their journey was going, they were finding out about each other. And then Samuel Jackson gave that story about what happened to him with his ex-partner and all that stuff. He was like, yeah, I haven't done shit right all my life. That takes skill. I mean, that moment, it was a character where it wasn't Miss, I didn't want. It was it was a human moment. She's flawed. Something's wrong with it. And when he was trying to save the daughter at the end at that hotel,
right?
He was saying, okay, it's do something right, Hennessy. Come on, please. Just do something right. I mean, I felt that. It was he's a flawed character that can't do nothing right. This is his chance to redeem himself. That's the character arc, that he could try to redeem himself doing something right, that he always fuck up on. Even with his son, with his daughter, no, with his son, with his wife, there's a chance for him to do something, right? And then on the flip side, Charlie Baltimore was trying to forget the whole Samantha Kane personality.
Right.
Right? So she's like, okay, I don't have a daughter. What's up? Come on, let's make out. And Samuel Jackson have to pull her back. No, you're a mother. You trying to do this so you can erase just Samantha Kane's that, right?
Right. Yeah.
So it wasn't okay, I'm just getting this from you and you're not getting anything from me. It was they're relying on each other through this journey to, discover things about each other and to keep each other in check.
Also, why did the bad guys all of a sudden wait until Charlie's back in the picture to set off their evil bad plan?
I thought they were always you're right, because the Operation Honeymoon.
Uh-huh.
The Operation Honeymoon.
Why didn't they proceed with Operation Honeymoon after Charlie disappeared?
Well, because
because the whole point of Operation Honeymoon was to get more funding for Army and everything.
Right. So manufacture a terrorist act on American soil.
Right. So you don't need Charlie around for that to happen. Why did they delay that?
Well, maybe Charlie,
7 or 8 years.
Maybe Charlie was the only one that could have pulled it off. And then
they were going to do it. They were going to kill Charlie before they pulled it off. And they didn't need to wait for her to come back in the picture. No.
But one thing you cannot deny. Can you tell me you've seen a character murder people on ice skates?
No, I can't think of that.
I'm just saying her kills are cool. She has some cool ass kills.
But I feel the whole point of this movie being created was because they wanted. She was married to the director and he wanted some cool shots of his wife taking out people.
And she was a good character. I mean, I liked her as a character. I thought she was.
I found her extremely annoying.
So there you have it, guys.
Wait, okay. So why was she a good character?
Why did they choose a good character?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as with all, I'm just kind of looking at the stripped down hero's journey of like a character, right? You know, it's kind of like you get to your discovery, you got your reluctant action, you have your call to action, you have your journey, and then you have your resolve. So, I mean, all of those fall into the wheelhouse of this particular character. And then on top of that, you know, with Shane Black's dialogue, you know,
he killed it with the one-off lines.
Yeah, and the banter, like the banter between those two, you know, was enjoyable and hilarious. And yeah, what I really liked about her, especially her character, is it constantly, you know, that internal, of course, she was dealing with, like, let's say split personality. Yeah, of course, there's split personalities, right? But I think how she handled it to me was like, was really, you know, grounded. I mean, because it's like, yeah, 8 years, something's coming out of you. Of course, you're not going to be like, dan, I'm an assassin. I mean, but yeah, it's going to be some like struggles. It's going to be like.
But the thing is, okay, so for example, Jason Bourne, all the skills he learned as an assassin were innate and built into him. And somehow her amnesia, all of her muscle memory went away. But then it came back all of a sudden after she hit her head in a car accident.
Actually, it didn't come back there. I mean, like, that's when, like, the flashes of Charlie was. Right. But it didn't quite come yet. It didn't really quite come to her, like, I'm Charlie until, like, the whole water torture thing. Right. That's when, right. Like, okay, I'm Charlie.
Right.
Like, the whole
the water torture emerged. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing.
But it's muscle memory. Like, if she knew how to chop things up that fast. That's something that she would always remember because it's muscle memory.
Really? Or is it mental?
Muscle memory.
Hmm. I mean, because you can always like know how to chop, right?
Yeah, but you're gonna be
cutting.
She was like,
right, and then all of a sudden she just like,
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That's thought it was just like, memory. Okay, I thought it was just more like you mentally know how to cut things a certain way. Therefore, you cut it. Right. yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's all I have about it. And plus, you know, she was a kick-ass character. You know, and I get it.
Also, know? Like the way that, okay, so every time they would catch Gina Davis's character and Samuel Jackson's character, they would try to kill her, but then continue to torture and keep him on the side. That always felt weird to me. That didn't bother you?
No. Oh. Because you know why? Because I saw it as like the reverse of damsel in distress. I think I made that same point with Alita. It was like Hugo was like the damsel in distress.
Right.
And Alita was like the guy kind of like, okay, let me save you. And it actually is funny because when they took Samuel Jackson away, what did he say? He's like, oh, I'll be waiting for you to save me.
I think he's
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be waiting for
in
you
one,
to save
in
me.
In one of the scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. Then Gene is like, okay, I'll be there in a minute. Kind of. Yeah. I mean, like stuff like that, just kind of taking the trope, turn on his head and acknowledging it. Like, yeah, it's a reversal of damsel in distress. I didn't have a problem with that. You know, like.
I think I just don't like Gina Davis.
Let's not go.
I don't.
Let's keep going.
I don't buy her as a secret agent. I think it was bad casting.
Mm.
I don't know who you would cast in 96 as someone else.
Yeah, it wasn't really. Who was in 96? I don't think anybody was around 96. Who was around in 96? That's a good question. Well, physicality.
Right.
No. Nobody. What is it? I don't know.
I mean, Charlize Theron was still around.
Yeah, she was just starting. No. She was a little. Wait a minute. When did 2 Days in the Valley come out? That's the first time I seen Charlize Theron. And that was like 97, 8, something like that. I don't know. But yeah. But anyway.
Well, let's see. Top actresses in 97. Kim Basinger. No. Penelope Cruz. No. Sarah Polley. I don't know who that is.
No.
Joan Allen.
Really? No.
Nicolette Brashy. She was in Life is Beautiful. No.
No.
Judy Davis. No. Sigourney Weaver.
No.
She was too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Francesca Neri and Emily Watson. They were the leading top actresses in 97.
Yeah, that was like English Patient time, right? Around that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so it was slim pickings at that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. She was probably the best actress for this.
Yeah, no, I couldn't picture any of those other actors you were saying. Like,
I mean, well, Sandra Bullock was also big in the 90s.
Yeah,
and Julia Roberts, but
no. No. I couldn't believe Sandra. I mean, she passed like her speed time because that was 94.
Demi Moore.
Was that around Striptease? Yeah, she could have pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. Striptease was 96.
Yep.
G.I. Jane was 97.
Mm. Yeah, she could have pulled it off.
She totally could have pulled it off.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't buy her as the Samantha Kane amnesiac, like happy, like cookie making mommy. I could buy her as Charlie. I couldn't buy her as like the mom.
Catherine Zeta Jones.
No.
Sharon Stone.
Mm-mm. 96, no. I mean, after Basic Instinct, I was like, she kind of passed her prime after that. After Casino, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like 93, I think.
Well, I mean, Kate Winslet, Titanic was 97. I don't know.
Nah, she don't look like a toughie.
No.
Sorry. But yeah, maybe Demi Moore, but like I said, I couldn't buy her as like
the mom. Don't buy her as the mom.
I could buy her as Charlie. I could see her as like.
But in Ghost, she's kind of that mom type character. In the she was like a, boring housewife.
Yeah, she wasn't a mom. She was a little Patrick Swayze. That was it. That's all. That's all it was. But yeah, so that's.
So why is this one of your Christmas movies?
As it was one of my Christmas movies because we love the unconventional Christmas movies.
Right.
Yeah, and it follows all the Christmas stuff.
So it happens in Christmas.
Christmas, yep.
Has a family.
And yeah, it's around Christmas time, and in a hotel room, Samuel Jackson says, "It's 2 days before Christmas. You probably want to call your daughter and let her know you give a shit." Yeah, and then one of the guys died, hung up on just like not like the dog in Gremlins, but the guy actually gets hung
right.
With Christmas lights. Yeah, that's my Christmas movie. Yeah, and it's violence. Like Lethal Weapon and Power.
That's what we like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I get to see someone get murdered someone murdering people on ice skates, which I haven't seen yet to this day. Yeah.
Agreed. And I mean, Samuel Jackson is always great to watch. So
yeah, and like you said, the one liners, it's just so. And
I just want like a shortcut of all the one liners from the movie.
Gotcha.
And then I'll be really happy.
Yeah.
I need like animated GIFs of all the one liners from this that I can use in presentations.
And there's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because another scene where they try to get her in the alley and Sammy Jackson was like, yeah, just points a gun at the henchman. Like, this is no ham on rye, pal. And Jim Dale was like, well, what you doing here? So I could have came a little sooner, but I was thinking up the ham on rye line. I mean, stuff like that. Just those one lines is just hilarious.
How does Chrissy feel about this movie?
She liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does she think it's a Christmas movie?
She don't think that hard.
we're like that lets you know where she stands on that, you know. But yeah.
Okay.
She dug it.
So why don't all of you guys out in the podcast universe let us know if you think this is a Christmas movie or if you like it. Mm-hmm. Or if you've seen it, go watch it. Or haven't seen it, go watch it, I should say.
Or in general's case, don't watch it.
I watched it.
I know, like, yeah, so that.
I just.
So it's like, okay, it's Crash and Burn, like, okay, well, actually, you didn't give Hellboy a Crash and Burn.
No, I gave Shape of Water Crash and Burn.
Okay, yeah. So that's kind of on the same lines of Shape of Water to you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Crash and Burn.
Gotcha.
Okay. Which is why I don't think I've seen it since it came out.
Oh, right on. Wow, this is the second. This is our second, like, extreme, like, polar opposite.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we got Crash Burn on Gentleman's End. Yeah.
Smooth
chopping up, shooting up people, and skates flying.
So email us at inflightentertainment2018@gmail.com to let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And then as a reminder, we are doing listener requests in January. So let us know what movie you would like us to listen or review.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have any reviews you'd like us to read, send that to us as well.
Yes, definitely. And again, we'd like to thank all of the listeners, foreign and domestic. We appreciate you. And we will be back on the flip side next week with some more reviews. Until then, we wish everyone safe travels and
peace. Moment with you, I shall reach the face.